Welcome back, one and all, to the Our Outdoors portion of your Memorial Day weekend. I am your host, Nick Simonson, outdoors writer with my materials online at newsdakota.com and dakotaedge.com. Here we are, folks, the unofficial start to summer. Hopefully you're getting out there with friends and family, whether it's behind the barbecue or out on the boat doing some fishing, finding those things that set your summer alight. Boy, it's going to go fast. Didn't have much of a spring, obviously, but here we are, Memorial Day weekend, the final weekend of May. We're looking forward to all that the summer has to offer. But right now, in the here and now, there are so many great fishing opportunities coming together throughout North Dakota and the upper Midwest. I hope you're getting on them. I hope you're finding those walleyes, those crappies, those largemouth bass, those smallies, some trout. So many different things to have fun with out there on the water. And while you're out there on the water, I hope you're paying attention to what's going on around you. If you're out there recreationally, whether it's tubing or skiing, that you got that spotter looking out for other boats, that if you are one of those recreational folks, you're kind of paying attention to those folks who are out there fishing and trying to have a good time in their ways on the water as well. And most importantly, everyone out there with those life jackets on, you've got those throwables in the boat just in case. If you've got those boats of 16 feet or longer, make sure you have the safety gear. You got that horn, you've got your lights on at night, dawn and dusk. It's really important that folks know where you're at, particularly in those times of low light conditions. In the meantime, however, I hope you're getting out there after your favorite species. And nothing is more synonymous for me with Memorial Day weekend fishing than largemouth bass. They are on the way up into their spawning grounds. I've seen it happening so far across the region. And this weekend, if we hang on to this stable weather, things are going to be super hot, not only with the temperatures, but also with the fishing. So coming up after the break, I'm going to give you my key locations for great largemouth fishing. So please stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everyone, your Memorial Day weekend installment of Our Outdoors. Again, I am Nick Simonson, outdoors writer and a passionate largemouth bass fisherman. I probably would rather fish largemouth bass than just about any other species, particularly this time of year. Number one, the fish are huge. You've got these huge females, chunky belly, all filled with eggs, rushing up in the shallows. The males have their nests. They've got their areas staked out, but those big mamas, they are coming up, and they provide, number one, some of the best fights of the year. You get a 3, 4, 5 pound largemouth on the line, and boy, she can really bulldog her way back out into the depths through whatever weeds might be established and give you a fishing challenge. And then obviously, too, getting on them, finding where they are at this time of year is half the fun. Picking them out in those shallow areas where they've set up their beds, where they're getting ready to spawn, and then catching them is kind of like a hunt. It's kind of like deer hunting, kind of like pheasant hunting. You're going out, searching out for those perfect places, and then connecting with your quarry. So let's talk about that. Where are the places that largemouth bass are at right now in this time? And we look at this time as it's a different spring. It's a later spring, but things may be aligning just about perfect if you're looking for those largemouth bass. And the first thing I want you to think is just like with those crappies, those north bays on your favorite largemouth lake or those little impoundments, looking north into those shallow bays is where you're going to find fish, especially those that are mud-bottomed or have a darker substrate. Why? That darker complexion of the bottom of the water is going to absorb more sunlight, going to absorb more radiant heat and warm those waters up quicker, bringing those fish in to spawn. And this is a year-in, year-out type of thing. Every year, fish typically spawn in the same areas. If you have other bays, you know, south or an east or a west, whatever it might be, that is receiving that or maybe is a little darker than another one or has a little different setup, you may want to explore those as well, but a North Bay should stick out in your mind as a place to go for largemouth, and certainly those that have more of a mud bottom are going to draw those fish in to set up for the spawn. Additionally, in those bays, those shallow stretches, come lily pads. If you have a lake with lily pads, I mean, that is a classic largemouth bass haven. And this time of year, I'm starting to see it. Those red leaves are coming up off the bottom. It's very important, not only for seeing the lily pads, but for also seeing the fish, that you have a set of polarized shades. Because when you're looking at those lily pads, you can see them unfurling under the water and that stalk starting to grow, and largemouth are going to relate to that structure. So whether it's an emergent one that's just coming up off the bottom and starting to grow, or those those that have been established in the shallower stretches and have outfolded and got set up, and you have those nice big green round hand-sized leaves, they are providing a canopy already, not only for the largemouth bass that are coming in, but for insects, for minnows, and for edible items that those bass are going to need to feed on as they go through. And of course, the classic frog, you can start throwing that topwater stuff or maybe a slightly weighted tube up into the lily pads and then dragging it off, dropping it into the water, and waiting for that thunk to set that baseball set, hook set for those big largemouth bass. So North Bays and lily pads go together like peanut butter and jelly. Another great option is timber, any type of timber. That could be a tree that fell over last fall and splashed into the water and is now laying there. Maybe it's one that's on a steep bank that provides some cover going from shallow to deep. All along that sunken timber, whether it's new or it's old, is going to provide a haven for largemouth bass. It's going to provide that structure that draws them in. I once fished a fallen birch tree that had four different limbs, two on each side, and there was a largemouth bass staging to spawn in every V of that tree. I caught four of them out of there. I think the smallest was 16. I think the biggest was just over 19. It was really an incredible stretch of fishing, and it all comes back to that timber. And again, that is also that cycle of food, insects, small items, and then you have those minnows, you have crayfish, you have other things that relate to those trees that largemouth love to eat. So keep timber in mind, whether it's those fallen trees or maybe some sunken timber, or maybe you've got trees on an impoundment that haven't died off completely, that haven't decomposed, and there's still stumps or maybe some branches under the water that you can fish. Largemouth bass love those, particularly those that relate to the shallows. Additionally, you want to key in on docks and other structures that you might be able to identify while you're out there fishing. Now, docks I like in midsummer and late summer. I mean, they're really, really good structures then because they provide the shade that bass need. Once the spawn is done, once they're kind of on the feed, they're picking off those bluegills or those crappies or those crayfish. Docks provide largemouth bass good overhead cover, good overhead protection, giving them a place to hide and then ambush their prey. But don't overlook them now. You might have docks in the shallows that are providing the same sort of cover, the same sort of structure for those largemouth bass, and they might even be protecting those little spawning sites as well. There's an old story that goes, a scientist put a teacup in a bathtub full of water and then stuck a largemouth bass in there, and that largemouth bass never left the teacup, because that was the only item of structure. Docks provide that structure as well. On an otherwise featureless shoreline, maybe you don't have reeds, maybe you don't have lily pads, maybe you don't have some boulders or rocks strewn about, those docks are the places, the magnets that are going to pull those bass in this time of year if nothing else remains. So please don't overlook docks. Keep those at in the back of your mind so that you know what to go after when it comes down to those stretches that may only have a dock or two as part of their significant structure. And additionally with that, to kind of piggyback on that dock idea, find lone items using side scan or using those polarized shades. Pick out those objects under the water that might be unique or that might be kind of the oddball in that particular area that are drawing largemouth in, the teacup in the bathtub, so to speak. One of the big ones is boulders. If you're cruising along and you see that big bump come up on your sonar, or you've got that side scan and you can see it, or maybe it's like a structure that's been left over from generations ago. One lake I fish in northeastern Minnesota that I love to fish, the water's clear, it's full of largemouth. There is an old dockhouse structure, like it's the base of that. It's all cobblestone that's been cemented together, and slowly, bit by bit, piece by piece, rock by rock, it's falling apart. But every spring, that's where the bass on that section of lake are. They're either right on it or just off it on the break. And I know exactly where they're going to be. Why? Because it is the only structure in that fairly murky stretch of that southern bay that I like to fish. But it holds the bass because the docks don't start for about 50 yards, and then the rest is just kind of an open preserve area. So keep those lone items in mind that you identify. Could be a sunken fish house that went through the ice, you know, 20 years ago. But at any rate, finding those lone items will help you find fish. So let's put it all together. You've got so many great places this weekend to explore. We got those North Bays, especially those ones with those dark mud bottoms. And then you got lily pads coming out of those dark bottoms. That's starting to provide the structure that largemouth bass love and jumpstart that food web that they need to survive. Any fallen timber, those trees, any piles of trees that might accumulate on a river next to a bridge, those sorts of places are going to draw in largemouth. Anything shallow that's warm with those pre-spawn areas that has docks or other structures or those lone items, those weird oddballs, those lone boulders out there, those are going to hold fish this time of year. It's a ton of fun to identify, and you can always go back to them season after season, whether it's an early spring or a late spring or one that kind of comes in the normal course of things. All of those places are going to hold largemouth bass year in and year out, and you're going to want to mark those in your mind or on your GPS so that you can return to them and find those fish. Go with Texas Rig Plastics. Bounce those crankbaits with the square lips off of those shallow structures like rocks or boulders, and you're going to trigger those reaction strikes. Bass will be aggressive this time of year in all of these wondrous places. So I hope that you get out there. I hope you key in on what the bass love structure-wise here in the pre-spawn and spawn phase, and you'll catch a ton of fish. And if you do, I'll see you in our outdoors.